Hello, welcome to Less Code, More Power. I'm Donna.
I'm Sarah.
And it's Benitez here.
We've got a very special guest all the way from New Zealand. Stay tuned. Hello, welcome back to Less Code, More Power. I'm Donna.
I'm Sarah.
Today we've got a very special guest all the way from New Zealand.
Eliza Benitez. So she, you may know Eliza from What The Flow. She has an amazing YouTube channel. She does so much stuff. She is an international speaker. She spoke at Ignite, Microsoft Ignite last year as well. And she's a general all around awesome person. So Eliza, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, cool. Hey everyone, my name is Eliza, and as you heard, I am based in Wellington in New Zealand. I used to live in Melbourne, Australia for 6.5 years, but then decided to move back home to New Zealand. But before I moved back home to New Zealand, I traveled the world for 3.5 months and I met the Microsoft community along the way. And I was blown away by everyone who came and made the effort to meet me, especially in Singapore. That was pretty special. I didn't realize that type of impact that I had on people, and they were very warming and friendly, and they showed us around, and I really, really loved it. But yeah, as Sarah mentioned, I do have a YouTube series called WTF, What The Flow. And the reason why I created that series was that was my way of sharing my knowledge of Power Automate. So formerly it was called Microsoft Flow. And the story behind it was there was a conference in Melbourne. So this is known as the annual Dynamics 365 Saturday event. And I wanted to use Power Automate, but I didn't have enough time. But then New Zealand, Wellington, they had their Dynamics 365 Saturday later in the year. So I gave myself 2 months to learn Power Automate and see whether I could convert my Dynamics 365 classic workflows into Power Automate. And as part of that journey, there were a lot of ups and downs because it was learning how Power Automate works in terms of the different techniques. And what I found was in Dynamics 365 classic workflows, what we're used to today can be done in Power Automate, but just merely through a different technique and a different thought pattern. And so after those 2 months, I thought, hey, you know, there's probably going to be other people in the Dynamics 365 community that want to pick up Power Automate and have a go at replicating what they've been doing in Dynamics 365 classic workflows. So that's why WTF was born, basically, because I wanted to share what I learned with the community. And then over time, it started to branch out to cool creative solutions. And that's something I'll be showing you later on today. And yeah, that's all I have to say for now.
That's so cool. I think that's absolutely fascinating. So Eliza and I had a chance to do a very, very short sit-down session in Auckland just a few weeks ago. And Eliza, one thing I thought was fascinating was that you went around the world and visited all these local communities of Microsoft customers and MVPs in so many different cities and so many different countries. Can you share with us some of the interesting learnings you had around what it takes to form a local community and what it takes to get that local community to gather and actually do things together?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll talk about Singapore, because for me, Singapore was a special place because there's so many people in this city. And the cool thing is that they all loved each other. And when I say loved each other, you know, in a friendship type of way. And it was so clear because, you know, the people there, Deepesh, he used to live there, he's now moved back to India, and Jiva, who's now a Microsoft MVP, and there's people like Geetha and Manu, and you could clearly see that they were a good bunch of friends. And the fact that we could joke and they could take us out to sightseeing as well as seeing the evening lights display around the Marina Parade. Ooh, I hope I got that right. But It was cool because one of the questions that I kept asking in each city that I went to was, you know, what are challenges that you face when you work with customers? And there's common issues. Well, I don't want to use the term issues, but there's common scenarios across mm-hmm. each country in terms of there's the desire to learn as well as help educate customers, not only on Dynamics 365, but the Pair platform as well. And that's because the Pair platform has become something that is part of our ecosystem that we no longer, well, I wouldn't say no longer can live without, but it makes our solution so much better when we incorporate the Pair platform, whether it's Pair BI, Pair apps, or Pair Automate. And I think that is true because a lot of the people in our community today, and I'm going to mention one person, even though I should be talking about myself, has enabled them to learn more about Dynamics 365 or CDS when they combine it with something like Pair Automate. And that person is Ryan McLean, who, and I might have pronounced his name wrong, based in Edinburgh in Scotland. You know, he's picked up Pair Automate. He's recently shown how you can make SharePoint and Dynamics 365 work better instead of using the standard native connector for SharePoint and Dynamics 365 to share document management. Oh, I kind of rambled on, but yeah.
No, this is awesome. This show is all about you and stuff. Yeah. So Ryan's an amazing guy. He's absolutely, we'll have to get Ryan on a show at some point. But yeah, no, that was really good. And I really loved how you especially brought together like Dynamics and the Power Platform because obviously your experience is in Dynamics.
Right.
And Eliza, just kind of like, can you share like kind of that whole kind of journey with when kind of the Power Platform kind of came about? Because a lot of the Power Platform is built on a lot of the stuff that came from Dynamics, and I know that like we're in a new world now, but just kind of share like kind of how you know that you kind of use that change, because a lot of people are kind of scared of change, especially from a technological perspective. So much, and you know, people have had to adapt. Like, how have you adapted? I know that like you've got this show and stuff, and how do you know people in the community, you know, how have they adapted as well?
Yeah, so I can definitely start from the beginning. So I still remember where I was when I came across Pair Automate, which was then called Microsoft Flow. So I was in an office that I used to work in back in Melbourne, and I saw, you know, different posts about it on Twitter. So I had a look, and it intrigued me because when I saw it back then, it was boxes that you select and you click and enter expressions. And at first thought I was like, oh, I don't know if this is for me. But then once I started seeing all these other blog posts on things like Microsoft SharePoint or Office 365, I was thinking, oh, well, no one's really covered it in Dynamics 365. So I thought, okay, well, I know it's some type of cloud workflow engine. That's how I
you're like cloud things.
And I was thinking, you know, I kind of do workflows already today in Dynamics 365, so known as classic workflows. So I said, you know, why not let me challenge myself, because I want to learn something new. And Pair Automate stood out to me because I also did, there's an EDX course for the Pair platform, so that included Canvas apps, model driven apps, Pair Automate, and a little bit of Pair BI, and it was one that Shane Young was facilitating through EDX. So when I did that course, Pair Automate was the one that I felt I got intimate with because it really stood out for me more than Canvas apps, and maybe it's just the way I operate, the way my brain thinks. So that's when I decided to give myself a challenge. Okay, the New Zealand conference is 2 months away. Let me see if I can learn Pair Automate. If it doesn't work out, then, you know, I still have classic workflows to fall back on. But it did work out, and that's why I shared it. And as part of the world tour, everywhere I went, you know, people asked about how to do certain things in Pair Automate, and was more than happy to show them. But that's kind of my spiel around it. And it's something that I definitely do want to keep learning, because there's so much that you can do with it, and I feel like I've only started to scratch the surface, because you'll see in my next WTF episodes that are lined up for the next, I think, 2 to 3 months, the solutions are way different than what I did last year. So I'm really excited. So when I say solutions, it's things that you can use at the enterprise level.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
That's wonderful. So one thing we ask all of our guests is to bring something to show everyone. Mm-hmm. And you've got some sort of an interesting demo video show thing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I need to share my screen.
All right,
I'm excited. This is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing in front of the screen right now is my mobile phone. So what I'm about to demonstrate is the use of a flick button. And what I've done in this solution is that it's in the use case of a remote worker. Now, that could be someone who works in the agriculture industry, which this is based on, but it could be anyone that works out in the field. So this is actually inspired by my own father. So my father used to work in the oil and gas industry, and he would drive to the oil rigs out in the Middle East. And during that time, well, many years ago, they would use a compass because that's how they would navigate in the desert. But eventually, as technology evolved, they were given mobile phones, and then that became smartphones. So they were able to look where they were going, as well as send a distress signal when emergency services need to be dispatched. So this solution that I'm showing you is how you can utilize a flick button to help notify your team where you are, so that if something critical has happened and you're out and about, emergency services can be dispatched. So the solution that I'm showing is the flick button. It is going to incorporate Power Automate, and then it's also going to incorporate Microsoft Teams. So I'm going to play it now.
That's cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love this. This is so useful for any sort of search and rescue thing. This is fantastic. Okay.
Like, so here's me holding the flick button. And what's going to happen is, when I open up Microsoft Teams, you'll see a message appear in the channel. And in that channel, we're going to see an adaptive card. And in that adaptive card, it's going to show the details of the employee and the latitude and longitude coordinates, so that you can share that with your dispatches. Mm-hmm. But you can also tap on a button so that it will bring up Google Maps, so that you know where your colleague is. As well.
That is fantastic.
That's pretty cool, right?
I love that. I love this for just so many scenarios, like your dad's scenario, anyone who's working in construction, anyone who's working on a rig, anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. help, get over here. Or even in this building.
Exactly.
Get me in the parking garage.
Or get my suitcase out.
Exactly. Exactly.
The thing is, as well, it's like the interface. Like, it's not, we're not just as much as we love the platform and stuff like that, and we love our laptops, but it's changing the interface of how we communicate. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it actually changes the way people do jobs. And whether that's a job like us, fancy ones with laptops, or people in the field who've never had a computer, right? Eliza, I don't know if your dad actually uses a computer at all at work, or he went from compass to mobile phone to the cell phone, and that is his one technology device that he's got. And we know so many people like that. Yeah, first-line workers. It's a huge audience, first-line workers.
Yeah, because it has to be mobile, right? A lot the stuff, like, you can't have this chunky thing.
No,
like,
you
kind
can't
of
carry
being
this
around.
So I love that. That is fantastic. So how long did that take you to put together?
Well, there's a cool story behind this. That video that I just showed you was actually filmed in Philadelphia by the Benjamin Franklin Bridge. And before I was in Philadelphia, so this was part of my world tour last year, I was in New York City, and I was staying out in Jersey, and I was like, okay, I really need to get this solution working, because I'm going to be presenting at Washington, D.C., Dynamics 365 Saturday in 3 weeks' time, so here we go. Mm-hmm. So I knew that the flick button, it captures the latitude and longitude coordinates based on the location of your mobile phone. So it's a permission that you have to enable on your mobile phone. So then I worked out, okay, what is something that I can use that will show the coordinates or the location of that person in the form of a map? And an app that is available today on most mobile phones, I hope, is Google Maps. So I was like, okay, perfect. So all I need to do is work out the URL for Google Maps and how to incorporate that latitude and longitude URL. So I think it took me like 2 to 3 hours to get the minimum working, wow, and then another hour to polish it up and looking all snazzy dazzle.
I love that you just said hours. So me and Donna just looked at each other.
I know, like hours. I was going to say weeks.
Yeah. Definitely, like days, days if days, you're an optimist. Yes, whereas exactly, like when you said hours, I looked at Donna and it was like, yep.
We had this long debate today about C++ and C# development compared to this. That would take weeks, actual weeks.
Yeah, it definitely would not take hours.
No, it would definitely not take hours. That's amazing.
The reason why I think it took hours, because for me, the game changer was adaptive cards. And this is something that I spoke about both at the Washington Dynex 365 Saturday and recently Microsoft Ignite the Tour in Sydney was adaptive cards, how it's so quick and easy to create an adaptive card, which is like a card user interface that's authored in JSON. For you to apply that across any type of platform or application such as Microsoft Teams. And it you literally don't need to know much about the JSON payload because it has things called elements, card elements, and you can select and choose, and then you can change how you want the information to be displayed at a certain extent. And basically, every time you add a card element, there's something in the window at the bottom of your screen where it's automatically going to create the JSON payload that you can then use in something like Power Automate. And it's literally just a copy and paste and then reference your dynamic content from any actions in your Power Automate, such as the trigger, which is what I did in my Power Automate. So, I love it.
I love
that.
I love how you're
that
like,
is
so cool.
So,
like, this is so
easy. NBD, fine. I just put this trigger into my Power Automate.
It's amazing. We're going to have to get you again to on the show for another episode to show adaptive cards, because I think people really want to know
more about
that.
That's something new and interesting for people. I don't think a lot of people know how to use them. Yeah. All right. Sure, so on every show, we close up with homework.
Yep.
Because our audience, you know, knows this is not just a watching show, it's a doing show. So Eliza, what would you like everyone to go and try today? Not in a week, not in 3 years, but today.
Right now.
Well, there's a couple of things, and they feed off onto each other. So the first thing is try a meat-free Monday. So I am plant-based. I've been vegan for the last 2 years, and I think it's something nice to do once a week in compassion for animals that live in this world with us. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is to help with your meat-free Monday, you can either build something like a fun app that will help motivate you in terms of eating more veggies and fruit and non-animal-based products, or you could do something like a Power Automate that is automatically looking at an RSS feed for a plant-based website. So that way, every time they post articles or blog posts or recipes, you can get that notification, and it can help motivate your meat-free Monday for hopefully maybe 3 months or a month or 6 months or
I love that.
That's amazing. Using technology to actually help you in your own personal life as well.
I actually started doing meat-free Mondays, and since then I've become a full-time vegan, and that was 6 months ago. So who knows? All right, we're out of time for today, but tune in next time to Less Code, More Power. I'm Donna.
I'm Sarah.
See you soon.